Hi, Thorn Podcast listeners. This year, we're celebrating our fifth season. As we prepare new and exciting conversations on the latest topics in healthy aging, sports performance, and the future of wellness, we'd like to hear your thoughts about the show and any ideas you'd like to see explored on future episodes. You can fill out a short survey by visiting thorn.health/pod. As a thank you for your feedback, you'll be entered into a drawing for a $100 Visa gift card. We'll select two winners each week until the survey ends. So the sooner you enter, the better your odds. Go to thorn.health/pod for your chance to win and to get your voice heard. That's thorne.health/pod.
This is the Thorn Podcast, Performance Edition, the show that navigates the complex world of sports science and explores the latest research on diet, nutritional supplements, and the human body. I'm Joel Totoro, Director of Sports Science at Thorn. As a reminder, statements in this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products mentioned are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Thorn Podcast, Performance Edition. This week, we're speaking to Tanner Curtis, former pro PUBG player and current senior performance coach for Team Liquid, teams across the globe, and Brian Canavan, a.k.a. Banana Slam Jamma, a.k.a. BSJ, a streamer, analyst, coach, and former player in the Dota League. Both of you, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
I think we're going to have a great chat today. That was a very brief overview that I don't think does you justice there. Can you talk a little bit about how a member of the Air Force and a biomedical engineering graduate ended up at the top of the gaming world and how you're kind of working together now to kind of shape the future of gaming performance? Let's start with Tanner.
Yeah, my journey was a long one to get here. You know, I was always a big gamer. I had an older brother who was 4 years older than me, and we were always competing against each other. So ever since I got injured from traditional sports, I couldn't play baseball, football, basketball anymore. I took to Halo at the time. Halo 2 was out as my outlet of, you know, competing and being able to kind of fulfill that itch, which took me, you know, into my you know, late teens, almost 19, 20, by the time I joined the Air Force, which was a decision that I made for my future. You know, I kind of wanted to always have a backup plan in case esports didn't work or things like that. So I did that for 5 years and obviously learned a lot, changed a lot. But during that time, I also was doing more so volunteer work in esports. I never lost it. I went on to coach and manage for a amateur League of Legends team that was attempting to qualify for the LCS. That was all while I was in the military. And then when PUBG came out, I really went all in on it. And I think I had a little less than 12 months left on my Air Force contract. I went all in on it. A couple things really lined up where I got injured, and so I got some time off work and I got to play more, and crazy sleep schedule to make it happen. But I ultimately went pro and signed my contract with a team called Optic Gaming, played with them for a while before transitioning over to coaching. And coaching is where I think my real passion comes in, and being able to, you know, help the youth and share my experiences and my mistakes and my successes with them ahead of time is something that I'm very passionate about. So it's something that esports has been with me, you know, since the beginning, and it's been sometimes more prominent than others. But I think that my hybrid experiences within real world military and my lifelong knowledge of gaming has led me to be someone who can relate and influence the younger generation of players.
I've always been a gamer as well. I remember I got my N64 when I was like 7, and I just fell in love with Diddy Kong Racing. And then, you know, suddenly in high school, I got my first Xbox and Call of Duty Modern Warfare got me in the online gaming world and realizing that video games weren't just like sitting at home by yourself. It was much more becoming a social activity and something to do as like a passion with friends and in your spare time. And I'd say like I went to college for biomedical engineering. And as a kid, I remember having a joke with my mom all the time where she's like, you know, as much as you love video games, you'll never make money playing them. That was the one thing that always resonated with me when I was in college. And something occurred to me in the moment where I was like, I needed a job. I worked at Chipotle for like 2 years and I wasn't really feeling it anymore. And one of my friends goes, you know, you're pretty good at Dota. And I got into Dota because in college, all of us were broke. So we didn't have money to spend on games. And Dota was a free-to-play game. And so all my friends from high school, we used it as a way to remain connected. And so at that time, when I was working at Chipotle, one of my friends goes, you've gotten pretty good at Dota. You should try streaming it. And so I was like, okay, like, why not? I'll try streaming it. And this was my third year of college. So I still had about a year and a half left to go. And what ended up happening was they had an in-house league that was allowing younger players to, like, showcase themselves. And crazy enough, I ended up winning it. So what that gave me a little bit of popularity on, like, Reddit and, like, the Dota forums. And so that gave my stream a big jump start. And about 6 months in, it felt like maybe there is something to do here. A lot of reason why people watched me was because my engineering mind, like I remember, I didn't really learn engineering. I learned how to think like an engineer, which is just very analytical, like reverse engineering every process that you learn and really being able to break down step by step how you came to the conclusions that you arrived at. And that's something that's very valuable in Dota because it's hard to know what to do in the game. That was why people generally watched my stream, was that I tended to talk more about what I was thinking during the game and what I thought about after the game. And by the time I graduated, I was making enough money to think maybe there's something here and it's consistent enough. And I decided I'll take like a year after college to really pursue this full time because I was really only able to stream maybe 25 hours a week during college. And, you know, 8 years later... here I am. I was originally was pursuing professional Dota at the same time, and I made a few tournaments, never really placed all that well, but it was something where at the time I decided I either have to go one way or the other. I had to all in the coaching, educational, streaming route, or I need to drop that and go all in on the pro because I was kind of getting like a little bit wishy-washy. And so I decided to go for the streaming route because, as you mentioned, Tanner, it just felt like what I was kind of meant to do. It felt more like my passion was to educate and learn to be a content creator in that regard. So here I am. That was about 5 years ago where I completely broke off of the professional aspect of it. And I started in Arizona, the US, and now I'm at the Team Liquid headquarters in the Netherlands. So it's been quite a journey, but I wouldn't take back any of it. So.
Yeah, I think that's great. Both of you have such unique kind of journeys. And I love whenever people can find their passion and, you know, make it their career. So really great to talk to both of you. So for our main topic this week, we're going to be discussing kind of the ins and outs of nutrition and kind of why Thorne partnered with Team Liquid to support esports athletes. You know, there's a lot of support around coaches and performance staff at Team Liquid, and you guys are doing kind of leading the industry on that side of things. But at the same time, it's a very challenging schedule. It's a very demanding career to be a competitive gamer. And it's a culture that traditionally didn't always make the healthiest choices. So we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit. And we often get to talk to experts and athletes kind of individually about the, kind of their lenses, but it's pretty rare that we have, you know, people who have been both on the coaching side and the athlete side. So we talk a little bit between the two of you how, you know, kind of you looked at nutrition when you were, you know, younger and playing before you kind of all this information was out there and kind of how you see it, the role it plays now in both how you game personally, but how you kind of talk about it and educate the people you coach with. So PSJ, you want to take the first step?
I would say my view on nutrition is largely like your body. If you feel your body, then you feel your ability to think. And as much as it is important to be able to perform in the gym and in sports, I think you have to be even more, if not even more, mentally acute to playing video games. And so when I view nutrition, it's something where my approach has always been, how do I feel that day? And how has my mind been negatively affected by anything in that regard? And I've always noticed, about 4 years ago, I'd say I noticed that I wasn't taking care of myself as well. Like, I wasn't eating the right food. I wasn't having the right routines. And that was significantly impacting my performance over time. I was basically binge playing, binge streaming, like kind of not having the good work-life balance. And so when I viewed nutrition, it was more like, the way I hone my Dota game and the way I think about min-maxing and efficiency, I should treat my body the same way because that's what I'm using to play this game. And that's really been my core view on nutrition as a whole.
For me, I think I was someone who was not very healthy growing up. You know, I kind of had a high metabolism and I thought I can eat whatever I want and still perform and still play traditional sports and all those things. It was also kind of like seen as cool to drink as many energy drinks as you could at a LAN event at the time. And I would say it wasn't until like the end of my playing career where I started to explore the health and nutrition benefits. Again, I kind of had the idea of might as well eat like, you know, eat worse when I'm young because I know I can't eat poorly when I'm older. So yeah, I think that once I started to take my health and nutrition more seriously, I felt the difference. So with exercise, with actually being properly hydrated, when I moved into healthy eating and supplementing, I just felt the difference. Same as BSJ said, like you could just, it's a difference you can feel, and you, the more you feel it, the more you want to feel it. So I think that that's something that is, you know, I always tell my players, like, I'm not an expert in the health and nutrition area, but I think I'm probably getting to a place where I'm above average, you know, as far as gamers go. A traditional athlete asks me, you know, questions, it'd be a little bit tougher, but with these guys, I think that they just need someone to kind of get them to meet us halfway, right? And it's really exciting when you do get players who buy in and start to take their health and nutrition seriously and are going to the gym and are eating and watching their diet and cutting out sugars and things like that. It's really fun to see, and it's fun to make a game out of it together. So
yeah, I think you hit on a great point there. And you know, anytime we work with any kind of high performance team, it's the ability to be at least kind of conversational in other areas of expertise, right? And that's kind of how you and I started working together. But so what I love, I've been out to the Team Liquid facility, and you've got kind of this war room of all these kind of data and film that you're looking at to really support these athletes. How do you kind of make the connection with your athletes? Be like, hey, you know, hydration matters, right? Like when you are hydrated, this is what it actually looks like on your game. Because I think that's a kind of a concept that doesn't always translate. It's like, yeah, no, I should be healthier. But you're like, no, actually what you did this morning is impacting your gameplay right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the statistics as far as, you know, your cognition levels when you're dehydrated dropping significantly is something that once you start to tell these guys and show them the proof, they really will start to buy in. And of course, it takes some time for them to habitually get into, you know, drinking water. And the fact of the matter is, gamers, especially when they're younger, can be lazy. They don't want to get up and walk all the way across the room and fill their water bottle even. Like, they just want to queue. And I was the same way. So I think that being able to relate to them in that way and explain things in a different way that kind of they're familiar with is something that really, you know, helps them and makes them buy into it. So a lot of the times, just as with supplements, I explain to them, you know, hey guys, like, supplements are just that. They're supplemental. Like, you still need to be eating properly. You still need to be hydrating properly. My bare minimums for the guys are you need to walk an hour a week. You know, that doesn't have to be one day, but throughout the week, you need to be taking, you know, 3 20-minute walks, getting your sunlight, so, and drinking hydration. So those are the three big things that I focus on are the movement, the sunlight, and the hydration. Yeah, when you kind of break it down and make it easier for them and make it digestible, once they can start to get that routine down, then they want to search for more. They want to know, okay, what's the next step? I'm kind of starting to feel a little bit better. I'm kind of getting something here. And then they can really, really go in on it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And we always talk about, to be able to talk about human performance, you have to talk about the human as a whole, right? And I think that kind of goes to BSJ, to your kind of engineering mind. You know, the human body is a system, right? So I think it kind of comes a little bit more obvious to you to think about everything being interconnected. But, you know, when we talk to gamers, you know, your brain uses 20% of your calories at rest, right? And you think about all the decisions, all the reactions you're using. So, you know, there's a nutritional cost to all everything you do. And then, you know, you start looking at, all right, what does, you know, screen time due to my sleep schedule, what is the schedule of gaming due to my sleep schedule? That's part of recovery. And it just, once you start making an improvement in one area, I love when, you know, competitive people are like, all right, what more can we fix, right? How can I optimize? So BSJ, how do you kind of get people to kind of understand what comes kind of natural to you? Like, this impacts that. Do you have a kind of any ways you talk about it kind of help people, you know, turn the light on in some people's heads?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been coaching individuals. I've never really coached a team for about 7 years. I'd say for the first 5 or 6, it was purely Dota. Like, they just came in, we talked only about Dota, how they could get better at the game. And it was brought to my attention through a lot of, like, very wise, smart people, one of which is the head coach for Team Liquid, William Blitzley. the Dota team. There's a lot of things that make you play worse, potentially, and a lot of those are outside of the game. And my coaching in the last, 2 years kind of took a turn towards, more what are people's habits? How do they treat Dota mentally with their approach? How do they treat Dota in their routine, as you mentioned, whether or not you're not getting enough sleep? And I always use the simplest example that a few years back, I started working on my awareness, and one of the biggest things was, what is making me play worse? When I'm playing worse, which I can feel, anybody can, if you ask them, are you playing well today? They could tell you if they think they're playing well. And whenever I was playing poorly, I'd think, why? And, I noticed that at around 7 p.m., I started playing poorly. And it's because I wasn't eating. I had to eat at 7 p.m. If I didn't eat at 7 p.m., that was about when I started getting grumpy and tilted and playing worse. So a lot of what you asked, the original question is, how do I get people to kind of buy into it and think about it, is I encourage them to really look inward about how they feel like they're playing. Do you think you're playing well today? Do you think you're playing poorly today? Why or why not? And a lot of times, we'll hatch a plan. Everyone's pretty, I don't know them personally, but they're able to tell me these are the days I tend to play well, the times of days, this happened the day before if I was playing poorly. And so it's something about the awareness factor. The body communicates to you very clearly. The brain tells you you don't feel good today. Something's off. Something's wrong. And using that, our body's ability to communicate to that, we have to be able to actually understand that language. And it's not the same for everybody. So it's a lot about trying to teach them to look for it. And that's been a really fun process. It's kind of funny. You see somebody make a mistake in Dota and half my conversations are how'd you feel when you did that? And half the time we end up talking about their real life rather than the actual mechanic that they messed up in the game. And that's been a really cool change. And it seems to be more impactful with actually giving them improvement in the game as well.
Yeah, I think that's a huge, hugely important thing to touch on is that, you didn't immediately just get worse, right? It's not you. There's something else impact. Well, I mean, it's you, but there's something else going there. It's your skill didn't fall off a cliff, right? And that kind of leads me to Tanner. You've got a guiding principle that I think is great that I've heard you say, better players, better people, better program. And I think that can apply to any organization, right? But can you tell me kind of what that means to you and how it drives your coaching style?
Yeah, so I think that coaching in... Obviously, we're still in the infancy of coaching in esports, and I think we have a long ways to go, but I think we're starting to find a few really, really good coaches, and usually it's just been about the players or just about the team. And, when I think a lot of people ask, how do you coach video games? And for me, it's I don't coach the mechanics of the game as much as I coach everything else, like the team camaraderie and things like that. So I think everyone tries to coach the players. So obviously we want to make better players. We want to make the players perform at their highest level so that they can the part of the team that they need to be. But then I think real good coaches take it the next step and care about the person behind it and want to make them better people, better with their families, better with each other, better with their communities. And what does that look like? So I like to share a lot of my experiences and my mistakes as well as my successes. But when I was 24, 25 year old professional for the first time and recently divorced and traveling to all these other countries of the world, I made a lot of mistakes. I may not have been practicing as much as I should have been or things like that. So I like to share with them honestly, without fear, what has turned me into the person that I am today, because I think that most of them look at me and know that I'm someone who still has a lot to relate with them and can still joke around and have fun with them. But at the same time, I've become someone who really does care about people and really wants to help any and everyone. So that's kind of the better people. And I think the biggest part of that is helping them become more self-aware of who they are. Not everyone's the same and not everyone can have the same habits and not everyone can do the same things, but we can all learn to have a good heart. We can all learn how to talk to people, how they want to be treated and things like that. So that's the better people part. And then the better program is just something that I honestly think it's maybe a little more ego driven, where I just have this desire to, be the Yankees of the 2000s or the Steelers of the NFL or the Packers, these teams who just have this culture of winning. And I think, like I said, part of that is the ego of I want to be able to say I was a part of helping create that, or I made the outline of the system that I can prove it works because it's done it time and time again. But I think that that's something that is important to me personally, and it's not important to everyone. But that's kind of where those three things meet, and what I mean when I say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, we could do an hour on just that kind of concept alone. I think it's super important. And, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about how you can't fake or hide passion, right? So just being passionate about what you're doing, and people see that, and it just means like, hey, I'm here for you, but I'm also here for this bigger thing together, right? All of us together. So I kind of love that. You talked about how everybody has to be individually in your coaching style, and that's a thing we talk about in supplementation. Can you talk about some of the areas you see? You know, and there's some general ideas, like obviously hydration and whatnot for everybody, but what are some of the supplementation or areas of nutritional support you needed that you didn't kind of expect when you kind of started working one-on-one and kind of digging a little bit deeper?
Yeah. So, I mean, at base level, like, I guess one of the first things was I always knew sleep was important, but I don't think I knew how important sleep really was until I got deeper into it. But right now, I think that there's a lot of things that I'm getting interested in that I wasn't interested in before. As far as I'm trying to think of the right way to explain it, but with these people and with them being individuals, there's a total equation that goes into it where if you're changing core beliefs about them, the topic that I'm getting on is discipline, the importance of discipline. And it's something that, you know, our players, they make their own choices like 99% of the time with everything they do. They get to choose when, for the most part, they get to choose when they're waking up and, you know, when they're playing and all these things, with the exception of basically scrim time or team time. And so I've been really focusing on showing these players how important it is to have the discipline to, for example, take the supplements every day, but also to try a cold bath. Try doing something that you don't want to do, like your whole body is telling you, no, I don't want to do this. But then when you do it, you feel like you really overcame something, and forget all the actual science behind it and what's actually going on when you're releasing these different chemicals in your body. But for you just as a person to feel like you overcame something that you didn't need to put yourself through and you chose to do it, those things I think actually have impact on performance in the long run. And I'm sure it's just as much the chemicals that are actually being released, but for them it's starting to realize like, okay, it kind of feels good to do things that I don't want to do but that I know are good for me. So that's one thing where digging real deep right now, I'm kind of fascinated by it and fascinated by watching how they respond to, you know, doing things you don't want to do. But then what I was kind of alluding to at the beginning is there becomes a breaking point where if you're forcing or suggesting someone to do something that they don't want to do, it needs to be something that is good for that individual. For example, there's some people who are just such unique individuals that when you try and encourage them to do something like that, they might have a negative response because they really like what makes them comfortable, makes them perform well, is feeling like everyone trusts them or they can do exactly what they want when they want. And so it's a very interesting and difficult concept to dive into, but that's really what I'm fascinated by right now.
And BSJ, kind of personally for you, what have you found in your career you've added to your mix or looked at nutritionally or supplement wise to kind of, as you've learned more and you understand more, what are kind of some of the things you personally do?
Well, I used to be an athlete back in the day, back in high school and college. I was a track runner and an American football player. But in my 20s during gaming, I didn't really take care of myself all that well. And just the last 2 years or so, I really learned what it meant to like go to the gym meaningfully with intention and more so be able to feel like what my body's actually, the limits of my body actually are and how things that contribute to whether or not I'm able to push those limits in a meaningful way. And the reason why I bring that up is just because I realized that at about a year in that my diet was my limiting factor. I was getting enough sleep. I was doing the right things at the gym. I felt like I was taking care of myself and it was simply my diet. So I became more aware of like what it took to go to the next step. Tanner kind of mentioned like when people dive in one step, you know, they're 1 foot deep. It's like, okay, time to dig deeper and deeper as they know what they've hit their limit. It's like, okay, I've hit my limit right now, but how do I get to that next step? And for me, I really looked at like balance of carbs and protein. And I realized in my diet, it was pretty difficult to get the protein I needed without supplements. So that was definitely something I started taking. And then generally just like vitamin supplements as well, because there's a lot of like, I mean, as a gamer, like the simple one of vitamin D, big problem, because we're just not in the sun at all. At least I'm not. So these are the type of things where it really came with like, okay, what is actually limiting me at the gym, especially? And I use that as like to extrapolate that into my work life as a sitting on a computer. And I realized that the nutrition aspect was the limiting factor, and that's kind of what got me into it more. But it's kind of like I'm waiting till I hit that next wall to know what the next thing I got to do is.
All right, I think that's a great time to take a break. We'll be right back to answer some questions from our listeners.
Got a health and wellness topic you can't stop thinking about? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram at Thorn Health or send us a message on Facebook with your proposed topic or issue to be featured on a future episode of the Thorn Podcast. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the Thorn Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Subscribing ensures you stay up to date with the latest in medical research and the next big ideas in health technology through exclusive interviews with wellness experts, entrepreneurs, and doctors at the frontiers of health. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. Now it's time to answer some questions from our community. Our first question this week comes from a listener who asked, is 30 too old to be a gamer? Let's start with BSJ.
Well, I'm currently 31, and I recently hit my highest MMR in Dota ever. That was about 6 months ago. And so my first answer would be that no, 30 is not too old to be a gamer. I think that what happens when you get to 30 is that a lot of other things in life matter to you than just games. You kind of gain perspective on the bigger picture of the world. And maybe that means that you don't want to play games for 12, 14 hours a day, or maybe life just doesn't let you. But by no means does that prevent you from being a gamer. And it's something that I think a lot of people have, at least in Dota community, there's a lot of shame around it where it's like, I'm too old to be playing this game. Like I'm, you know, this is for teenagers. And it's something that we all grew up loving. And it's not like something you're just supposed to give up at some point. You don't have to give it up. I do think gaming can be dangerous in the sense that it's right there all the time. It's super fun. It's like super easy to just get it, you know, really hooked on a game. And as long as it's not detrimental to the rest of your life, I think gaming is an amazing way to hang out with your friends. It's an amazing way to, you know, keep your brain active while also just sitting at home. And there's just so many positives, I think, to gaming. And if you're also looking to be like a professional gamer, maybe like certain sports that are like reaction based might be a bit tougher if you started at 30. But in Dota, there's professionals still at 35 years old, 34, and they're the top of the world. So I've never really seen gamers give up because they're 30. They give up because they've done it for 12 years and it's time for bigger and better things for them personally. But I really encourage everyone to not put a number, put a limit on their gaming lifetime, because I think that's just such a huge like stereotype and stigma in the gaming community as a whole that just only hurts us and doesn't really help.
Yeah, that's actually a great transition to our next question, which I'll kind of shoot over to you, Tanner. But, you know, the idea of being a competitive gamer, but obviously, you know, people want to be great at their hobbies, right? So the next question is, do you still game for fun when it's your job, or do you have other hobbies and or?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the most difficult parts. Whenever, you know, somebody asks me what I do for work and I tell them about my esports career, their first reaction is just kind of like, oh, that's so cool that you do that for a living and that you you know, get to do what you love for a living. And it's a double-edged sword because, yes, like, I'm very blessed to do what I do, and it is something not a lot of people get to experience, and it's incredible in many ways. But on the other end, it becomes very hard when what you love and what your hobby is becomes your job. Then you kind of don't have that outer escape. It's like if your world is just 24/7 revolving around the game, it can become difficult. You know, it used to be something that I would get off of work in the military and I would be so excited to go home and play. It's just a little bit less excitement. It's like, oh, I have to get up. And I'm sure some BSJ knows about sometimes where it's like, oh, I have to get up and stream. And like, I just wish I could take a day off. And sometimes you can take that day off, which is great. But sometimes you made a commitment and you can't take that day off. So it's a double-edged sword. It's very difficult. I'm encouraging my players to have other hobbies. I've taken up other hobbies. Recently got into golf, something that, you know, I was never good at, and I never thought I could ever get good at it, but put in some time to it and you find a good friend group who also does it. We have one player and two of our staff members who also have picked that up as their hobby. So it's something that I finally have that release that's not game related, because it used to be, you know, coach all day and then, okay, now I'm going to play, or now I'm going to learn something new about the game or try and learn something. And so now it's nice to step away and have more of a personal life and do those things. So I do still game for fun every once in a while, but I think it's a little more in spurts. BSJ mentioned earlier, the kind of way I am with playing games is I really binge game. So like, I'll get into a month where I'm like, all right, I'm gonna grind. And that doesn't mean that I'm gonna ruin my sleep schedule and my nutrition or anything, but like, I'm gonna focus this month on seeing where I'll end up on the leaderboard, and then taking a few months where I'm not really playing as much in order to reach a higher level of gaming or almost anything competitive in life. You need to be doing it a lot in a short amount of time and to stay good at it. And then I like to take my extended breaks afterwards, after I've kind of reached my peak elo.
Recently, I'd say the last 6 months is where I really realized like the full transition of not feeling like I have enough hobbies, because gaming was once pretty much my only hobby because I didn't have too much free time during college and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely have highly valued having more well-rounded life. Like I mentioned, like, I don't play less games now. I don't play less Dota now because I don't like Dota. I've just realized that there is more to life than just Dota, even though I do absolutely love Dota. And the emphasis I would put on hobbies, I specifically have gotten into a little bit of kickboxing. I used to play basketball as a kid, so I've gotten back into that. Actually, on the side, I play a little bit of poker. I enjoy the strategic aspect of poker in comparison with Dota. And the one thing I've noticed about having more hobbies and just a more well-rounded enjoyment of life is that I actually appreciate Dota more. I enjoy playing the game that has become my job that previously, like you mentioned, Tanner, there's just too many of those mornings before where I was just like, oh, time to, gotta go again. You know, it's not that I want to play Dota today, but it's my job to play Dota. And now that I've had a much better work-life balance of the extracurriculars on top of my Dota, I've noticed that happens far less. Sometimes it still happens. It is what it is. Work is work. But the majority of time, I look, on average, look forward to playing Dota as a whole. And I just realized that sometimes you forget how fun your job is. Like, you forget how fun it is to play games, and you fail to appreciate how lucky, like Tanner said, we are. Like, we're very grateful. Like, I have always thought that, and sometimes you just don't feel it. So the hobbies for me, that's the biggest impact that they've had.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you guys are making this easy. Kind of leads into our next question. We talked a little bit about the kind of the balance of, you know, being a gamer and life. But the next question is a loaded one. So we'll kind of give you guys a minute each to kind of give your bullet points here. But question is, can you be healthy and be a gamer? Let's go back to BSJ.
Well, 25-year-old me maybe would have said no, but I would absolutely say yes now. The biggest thing for me has been that I have really altered my perspective to my job and gaming is a privilege, and it's something I get to earn. It's something that I love doing, and I need to take care of myself in order to earn these things. So on the priority list, like, I've put it below things like sleep, gym, eating times. Like, I have a strict eating schedule. When I say strict, it's like around noon, around 7 p.m. I eat, you know, and stuff like this, where I make sure I know in my head that gaming fit in between all of these things? Where can I meaningfully, with intention, fit gaming into my schedule? And even though it is my work, I still want to prioritize taking care of myself more. So I really do think that a lot of people, myself included, throughout all of my 20s, you just load up the game. It's like, I don't really know what else to do, or that sounds fun right now, and I just load up the game. So I really, for me, the intention aspect of what it means to appreciate playing and also like knowing that I have to quote unquote earn it has really raised the health bar of my gaming lifestyle, and it definitely works.
All right, Tanner, what's your overview there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes work. It's hard, and as many things BSJ's mentioning, it's later in life things start to change. And I mean later as in like after your mid-20s, your priorities get different, and that's when you can really go in on it. But for younger players, it really depends on your goals. I mean, obviously you can still be healthy. You need to be healthy or else you're never going to have a career in gaming. But how much work it takes to maintain that health varies as you age. So I think you can absolutely be healthy and be a gamer. We're now no longer in the days of mom's basement, right? And Monster and Doritos. So
this has been great. And I have one more question for you. That's kind of my question. Tanner, I want to circle back to something you said earlier about how you kind of turned nutrition into game, right? And tap into the kind of competitive nature and tie that to be competitive about your performance and your health.
It's important to get these guys speak their language. And for them, they are incredibly competitive human beings. So to be able to tell them, get them competing against each other is something that has done a lot to help with their health and nutrition. You know, they wanna one-up each other with how many times they've been to the gym or what their eating patterns are and how they're limiting their sugar. So I think that it's something that once you can start to speak their language and let them turn it into a game for themselves and one-up each other, then their health and nutrition really starts to roll from there.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have this week. BSJ Tanner, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Where can our listeners go to follow you both? BSJ, let's start with you.
You can find me live on twitch.tv/bananaslamjamma. You can find me on YouTube with the same handle as well as on Twitter. I make educational videos for Dota on YouTube, more of a live chat interaction on Twitch, and I keep you guys posted with what I'm up to on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at 17, so that's the number 7, T-E-E-N. Also on Instagram at 17 with T-C at the end of that. So those are the best places to find me, and from there you can find the other socials.
Excellent. As always, thanks everyone for listening. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thorn Podcast Performance Edition. Make sure to never miss an episode by subscribing to the show on your podcast app of choice. You can also learn more about the topics we discussed by visiting thorn.com and checking out the latest news, videos, and stories on Thorn's Take 5 Daily blog. For this performance edition of the Thorn Podcast, I'm Joel Totoro, reminding everyone to stay active and stay hydrated.
Thanks again for listening to the Thorn Podcast. If you'd like to share your thoughts on this episode or ideas for future episodes, visit thorn.health/pod to fill out a quick survey. We're entering each respondent into a drawing for a $100 Visa gift card. We'll select 2 winners each week until the survey ends, so the sooner you enter, the better your odds. Winners will be notified by email. Again, you can find the survey at thorne.health/pod. We can't wait to hear from you.